Hello, 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 and welcome to this edition of the Jolly Heretic. Now, there has been a coup attempt by the President of South Korea. On the night of the 3rd of December 2024, the President of South Korea imposed martial law and, in doing so, suspended civil rights and effectively suspended parliament. The result of that was that his opponents in Parliament, 200 of them, the opposition MPs, went to the Parliament to find that the army had been sent there to stop them getting in. They went to the Parliament in order to vote down the imposition of martial law, which they duly did. There were riots in the streets. There was a fights between the army and members of Parliament and all this sort of thing. 2 hours and 28 minutes after imposing martial law, the President of South Korea relented, which obviously leaves him rather damaged. Now, a lot of people in the media are saying, oh, this is so extraordinary. South Korea is the wonderful shining beacon of democracy in Asia. How can this possibly happen? I'm not at all surprised that this has happened. Some countries are prone to being able to sustain democracy and some countries are not. And South Korea is the kind of country that one wouldn't expect to be able to sustain democracy. And the reason for that, it all makes sense, as with so much about human behaviour, if you look into the evolutionary psychology of South Koreans. So much makes perfect sense if you look at the evolutionary psychology. And so you want to understand what's happening in South Korea. That is what I'm going to do today. Before I do that, could you please do me a favour? Could you please, please, please subscribe? Could you subscribe here on YouTube and leave a like and pin the bell button and leave a comment and share it and all that stuff? And could you also subscribe on my Substack? That's jollyheretic.com, where I put in-person interviews, stuff that's too dangerous for YouTube, vlogs, live streams, all kinds of stuff, and where if you like what I do, you can support me for the cost of a pint of beer a month. But most importantly, please, please, please subscribe. Okay, back to the video. So what's happened? As I said, the President of South Korea, Yoon Suk-yeol, imposed martial law for 2 hours and 28 minutes. The 200 MPs turned up at Parliament facing down the army in order to vote this down, and the president relented in the face of a riot. This is not the first time martial law has been imposed in South Korea. In 1961, General Park, who modernised the country, took over the country in a military coup and imposed martial law. In 1979, General Park was assassinated, and in 1980, another general imposed martial law. Then in 1988, so only as recently as that, Korea transitioned into a democracy. But we would expect it to be a rather shaky democracy if we look at the nature of Koreans, and we would expect it to be relatively easy for autocrats to take over. Why is this? Well, if you look at the research of Tatu Vanhanen, and particularly his book Democratization, then what he finds is that democracy is sustained in countries with an optimum level of social trust. If social trust is too low, then the people will never trust the opposition. They will always feel that the opposition will try to destroy them and kill them, or the country will balkanize into different ethnic groups that will vote along ethnic lines. This will cause chaos, and the result will be that a dictator will have to take over. Similarly, if the social trust is so low that people do not trust that the opposition, when elected, will be fair to them, then democracy collapses and you end up with the country splitting up, or you end up with some kind of dictatorship from one side or the other that simply oppresses the other side. So countries that have too low social trust do not develop democracy. However, notes Vanhanen, there is a similar problem when countries have too high social trust. Democracy involves social trust. Yes, you have to trust that the election is going to be fair. You have to trust that those that are from a different political viewpoint from you are not going to cheat. You have to trust that when people with whom you don't agree get into power because the majority vote for them, then they will, okay, they'll impose whatever they want to do, but they won't simply destroy the opposition. You know, they will be reasonable about there being an opposition. You have to trust those things. But you have to be questioning of your leaders. You have to criticise your leaders. You have to be sceptical of your leaders in order to ensure that they don't subvert democracy, in order to ensure that they don't take over the country in a dictatorship, in order to ensure that they can't just ride roughshod over the country's constitution and do whatever they like. You have to hold them to account. So there's an optimum level of social trust, and too much social trust is bad for democracy, because it means that you're too trusting, and that means that autocrats and so on can take over. On a basic level, of course, this is a very serious problem. A person who will come across in a country that's of a democratic nature as an autocrat, well, people will see through that. They will reject that person. They will regard that person as a threat to democracy and good order. They will not elect such a person. They won't have such a person in power. They won't believe such a person. They will be sceptical of such a person. The problem comes when you are very high in social trust, and therefore you trust such a person, and such an autocrat is able to take over and subvert democracy. And because social trust is so high, you may even tell yourself that he's doing the right thing for the good of the country by taking over and being a dictator and destroying democracy. And so democracy falls. Now, this is the issue. A country like South Korea has extremely high social trust. Why? South Koreans are extremely intelligent. This predicts trusting people, because if you are low in intelligence, then you know you're probably always going to be conned, so it pays to trust nobody. But if you're high in intelligence, then you'll hopefully be able to see through the possibility of being conned, and therefore you might as well be open-minded to new possibilities that will be helpful to you, and so you are more trusting. South Koreans are high in the personality trait. They are adapted basically to a slow life history ecology where you have to form tightly bonded groups, where you bond with each other, where you have to trust people. And so they are high in agreeableness. People that are high in agreeableness tend to be kind and trustworthy themselves, and they tend to trust other people. They are high in conscientiousness. They follow the rules. They tend to trust that other people will follow the rules. They are high in anxiety, but they are low in other aspects of neuroticism, i.e. negative feelings. So this means they have a positive view of other people and they will tend to trust them. This is a problem. It means they're too trusting. They're too trusting. And what that means is that whereas in other societies, a potential dictator would be distrusted, would be mocked, would be ridiculed, would have his motives questioned all the time, people would be constantly cynical of what he was doing and would be acting against him, such that he would never be able to get to a point where he could subvert democracy. In somewhere like South Korea, it is much easier for him to be able to do that, because so many people are extremely high in social trust that if you are one of those tiny number of people in a country like that, that is basically a high functioning psychopath, then people will trust you. A narcissist, people will trust you. People will not be cynical of you. And therefore you will, in a sense, be able to kind of get away with it. You will be able to get away with it. There won't be people there all the time mocking you and ridiculing you. You will be able to get away with it. And you'll be therefore more likely to be able to get to the top. There will be far fewer people like, I don't know, Nigel Farage or whatever, that will be mocking the establishment, that will be ridiculing the establishment, that will be poking holes in the establishment. Those people just won't be there to stand in your way. And so it will be much easier for you to get to the top. Now, the second thing is, if you are in somewhere where everybody is extremely pro-social and kind and trusting, if you are basically a bully, if you are basically a high-functioning psychopath, you won't be used to people standing up to you. If you're a bully and a high-functioning psychopath in somewhere like Italy, or to a lesser extent somewhere like the UK, you will meet your match quite often. You will not infrequently encounter other high-functioning psychopaths and bullies, and they will stand up to you. And you will learn that you can't just get away with whatever you like. You can't just ride roughshod over people, because there are others that will stand up to you and attack you and stand in your way. So you can't just get away with it. If you are a high-functioning psychopath in somewhere like South Korea, you might go through your life hardly ever meeting other people like you, with the result that you will feel a sort of hubris. You will feel that you can get away with it. No one's going to stop you. People are too trusting. People are cattle. People are conformist, unbelievably conformist. They're not going to stop you. And I suggest that that's probably true with President Yil. He's ascended to power. People have commented that he's not particularly interested in things like democracy and freedoms and stuff like that. And I suggest that he's taken the view that Parliament are standing in the way of the laws he wants to pass. So what he's going to do is smear the opposition as being agents of North Korea, which is the most dangerous thing you can possibly be in South Korea, and use that as an excuse to take control and assume that most South Koreans are so trusting and so trusting of him that they don't mind having a dictator who removes the democracy. And even the Parliament won't mind. Ultimately, they'll trust him. They'll back down because that's what everyone's done all his life. But they're not going to. For a number of reasons. One, as I say, because he has underestimated the opposition to him. He's never experienced real opposition. And two, I suppose, the nature of South Korea is likely changing. People are probably becoming less trusting than they used to be. For various evolutionary reasons, such as the fact that South Korea is almost certainly becoming less intelligent and probably there is selection against, therefore, these kinds of traits that are associated with trust. And so, therefore, they're not having it. They're not having it in a way they used to perhaps have it, in a way they would have done in 1980 or they would have done in 1961. It's a less trusting society. So, it has sustained democracy. In a way that if this had happened 30 years ago, perhaps it wouldn't have done. I wrote a book many years ago on the situation in Finland. Finnish genetics in terms of things like genes that are associated with curiosity. Curiosity, i.e. not conforming. Not conforming and being intellectually curious and being sort of shaking things up a bit, that sort of thing. Are equidistant between those of Northeast Asians and European peoples. And it's very interesting that Finland is very fragile in terms of democracy. On two occasions, once in the 1930s and once for a long period of time between the 50s and the 80s, democracy was subverted in Finland. And particularly between 56 and 82, when Urho Kekkonen was in charge, you basically had an autocrat who, due to a high trust society, was able to completely subvert, almost completely subvert the democracy, arguing that, oh, well, you need me because if you don't have me, then the Russians might invade. But basically, people were so trusting that they assumed that, oh, well, maybe we need him and maybe it's OK. You know, he wasn't criticised enough. There wasn't enough opposition to him and he was able to rise through and subvert democracy in a very trusting society. And that's what you had in Korea. It's to do with the nature, the evolutionary nature of the South Koreans, that this has happened. And I suspect that the fact that he did not get away with it is indicative of certain changes in the Korean population associated with declining intelligence, which you clearly get in Western countries.
Are you ready for the future of the West?